Exactly. The end is not yet. It's the time of sorrows. It's groanings. It's the creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
That's us.
It is us.
You may not know it. You may not feel it, understand it, want it, but it's us. We're the only hope they have. They don't have any other hope. Because if there isn't goodness in the world, if it's only evil, then, of course, nobody has any hope. But if there's goodness in the world, when they see it, they don't like it. They persecute it. They speak against it. Not because they don't want it. It's because they don't know how to get it. They're ignorant that you can get it so easily. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. You just believe the word. We don't even know what the word is. I mean, this is an uneducated generation. Not everybody, but I mean just some. Especially here in Texas. We have a lot of Christians here. But in a lot of places, they don't have anyone. They're just, you know, led by, you know, all the groups that are out there, lawless. And so the president is only president over, you know, believers. And it's hard to say what else. I mean, there are some others, but it's mostly believers. So we're not doing that. God is doing that. Okay. Am I on? I think I am on. Okay. I want to read out of, by the Holy Spirit. He woke me up early this morning, 6 o'clock, I guess, and spoke this word to me. Actually, it was yesterday morning. It was yesterday morning that he woke me up. He woke me also this morning at 6 and said something to me. And so I know that it isn't today, but it's very close. And that's what I've been saying, is you need to read the Bible. Amen. Because it's all in the Word. I'm not talking about what event is first and what event is second. I'm just talking about you need to read the Word daily. I know some of you are not, and it's okay. You don't go to hell because of that. You go to heaven because of your faith. You go to heaven because of your faith. And those that don't go didn't have it. They just didn't have it because they didn't see the church alive. We're the alive church. We need to be hot, not lukewarm. We need to not be hypocrites. Hypocrite, you are what you are not. That's a hypocrite. You are what you are not. That's a hypocrite. You're pretending like you're religious when you're not. You're pretending like you're nice when you're not. And so that's hypocrisy, is you cannot be what you are not. You can only be what you are. This flies in the face of everything human beings can talk about. Because it opposes everything in this world. Your will, your mind, your emotions, your behavior, the world's behavior. Everything in the Word is in contradictory, absolute. It's contradictory to everything in this world. So to be a Christian today is to be hated, persecuted, misunderstood. However, the misunderstanding is not people. The misunderstanding is in themselves. They misunderstand because they don't see any Christians. Do I blame them? No, because it's written in the stars and so on and so forth. So they can know. And they will know. As soon as he comes back, they'll know, uh-oh, we made a mistake. Wow, we made bad decisions. We thought lawlessness was the way to get ahead. Politicians, media, school teachers now, not all, some. Everything in society today is going toward the demonic. Okay? So don't think it's weird that people say things that don't make sense. It's not weird. They are overcome because the time is coming and the devil knows it's his time. He's on earth. He knows it's his time and he's trying to rile up all the, you know, people to oppose us as he can, because he knows his days are short. And they're 1,260 days short. That's the exact, when it says, you'll not know the day and the hour. Well, you kind of do. You kind of do. You don't know the exact day and hour, but you do know the season. It'll be 1260 days. As soon as someone in Jerusalem, sits down. So you have to think about who lives in Jerusalem. They'll sit down in the temple. Hasn't been built yet. That's why I say it's not now. It hasn't been built yet. So those Jewish rabbis are wrong. Jewish scholars are wrong who say yesterday was to be the day that a meteor met the earth and destroyed it. It didn't happen, but I knew it didn't happen. I'm not bragging. I just knew by the Spirit. Not true. It's not going to happen. They haven't, because they're not reading the New Testament. The New Testament clearly says somebody, Antichrist, is going to raise up and he's going to persecute Israel in the great tribulation called Jacob's Trouble. He's going to persecute Israel and he'll stand up in the temple, which is being prepared for Israel to be worshiping. Not ready. It hasn't even been built. We have a lot of the paraphernalia already ready. I've seen the high priest garment. I've seen the candelabra or candlestick or lampstand. I've seen the incense. I've seen a lot of the materials that are there and has models and pictures there right near the Western Wall. But it hadn't been built. And that's a big problem because it'll be World War III. It will trigger World War III, which could be the Great Tribulation, bigger than anything that ever happened before. Nothing like it. And Jacob will be troubled, meaning judged. Judged. So the enemy is actually thinking to destroy Israel. They won't. Israel will not be destroyed. So, thinking to do that, they will kill many under the yoke of bondage, but not all. And this is the time, and there's only one scripture, I think, on this, Malachi, I think it's 3, Malachi, yeah, I think it's 3:3. But anyway, it's in Malachi. And it says there that that's the time of the purifying of the sons of Levi. Well, the sons of Levi are Jewish, but they're also of the Levitical tribe. They carry the ark, the presence of God. Wherever they go, the ark is on their shoulders. That's their job. And because of that, they will be purified. Same fire that destroys Israelis will be the same fire during Jacob's trouble, the same fire that actually purifies the sons of Levi. And they will turn to the Lord. We call them Messianic Jews, but that doesn't mean anyone that calls themselves that is one. I'm sure there's a lot that not. But even so, they believe in the Messiah. They actually believe he already came. They believe he's not coming, he already came. And they're talking about Yeshua, HaMashiach. And so, and today, Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, knows. I don't know if he said it, but he knows about it. They're one of the major groups in Israel. And if you want to pass a law, for example, be prime minister, if you don't curry favor with the Christians, that is, Messianic Jews, you will not make it. And he did. That's when he visited America. He didn't do it for reasons of our politics. didn't avoid our president and the administration for reason of politics. He did that because he wanted to touch the people's voice through our representatives, both the Senate and the House. Because you don't go to a people to curry favor without touching their representatives. And he wanted to make sure that if he does something in his own interest, but also in ours, if he does something, he wants to know, do I have your approval? Because we know a little bit more than you do about our neighborhood. Because they live in the neighborhood and they know what's going on. They have ears and eyes to see, that is, cybersecurity throughout all of Israel, but particularly in the north and in the east, northeast. And the last time I went there, that's exactly where we visited, 1 mile away from all the fighting. There was fighting going on right then. The Russians were there. The Syrians were there. And so on and so forth. And so they were in battle. We could see it. Yeah. We could hear that. Were you there?
Yes, and I unfortunately, my phone got erased. But
yeah.
But I had, on my text, you could hear the bombs.
Yeah. Well, we saw them. We actually were a mile away.
You could see the fire.
We were a mile away,
for sure.
maybe a mile and a half. I'm not sure exactly, but you can see them right there. And we were in a special place that they bombed the next day after we left. Bombed it. And that's the day that jihad started. So they bombed into Israel the next day, right where we were standing, right there. Because you can see everything. You can see the whole battlefield.
Wow.
And anyway, I'm just saying, God isn't through yet. Now, here's the secret. I'm going to tell you the secret. Cut through everything. Let's read Romans 2nd chapter. Romans 2nd chapter. Powerful. Here it is. It's right here. The whole sermon's right here. Three, how do you get three? There's where we're heading, seven. How do you get three to get to seven? I skipped 4, 5, and 6. How do you get three to get to seven? Because that's where we're going to end up. We will be a bride ready when the Lord returns. Pure, spotless. How's that? How do you get pure and spotless? How do you get pure and spotless? I've preached it umpteen years. How do you get there? It's simple. How do you get there? How do you get where God wants you to be without sin? How do you get there? We talked about chair 4, 5, and 6. Okay, that's the way you get there, but how do you get there? How do you get there?
Believe.
Believe. Yeah, faith. Faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God,
which is rhema in that particular sentence, the Greek word, rhema. In other words, a word that's been not just read, but you immediately understand it.
Amen.
So you're like, whoa, I have total understanding of that word, which is God wants me without sin. So chair 6 is without sin. That's how you're in chair 7, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. From then on, you never sin. Never. Never. There's for now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, Romans 8, 1 and 2, but after the Spirit. So you'll be spiritual people, but you're mature now. You're not just spiritual imputed in chair 4. And then actual in chair 5, but that is for your death, so that you can be resurrected in chair 6 for your new life.
Praise the Lord.
So that you can sit in chair 7, which is you're going to marry Jesus. So he's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for the bride, not to get rid of the devil and so on. He'll do that too. That's incidental. That's incidental. He's just going to get rid of all the bad people. so how do you get there? Is it because he exalts his word? Do you know where that is? Do you know where that's in the scriptures?
Hebrews.
Exalts his word above his name. Do you know where that is?
Psalms.
Somebody said it?
Psalms. She said
it's in Psalms.
Okay, Psalm 138, verse 2. 138, verse 2. So, since he exalts his word above his name, that means the only thing you have to know is his word.
Amen.
We're not saved by works.
Amen.
You're not saved by works. How many of you have perfect works? Nobody. Nobody has perfect works. So you're saved by his works, done on your behalf. Because he's righteous, you're righteous. I don't know how that's pulled off. I don't know how the death of one son of man guy affects me, who was born of Mary, and whose earthly father was Joseph, but that's not the real dad, because she was overwhelmed, she was overcome by the Spirit of the living God, which Jesus had as Son of God. But as Son of Man, he emptied himself of all the omniscience and omnipresence and so on. He emptied himself of that. Kenosis, emptied himself. But he was actually God. And it says that. The Greek word there, harpagna, it says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't a robbery on his part because he was Son of God. Even though he was acting, he took on the form of a man. He was acting like Son of Man. He was the greatest man. So he's not only the greatest God. Whom have I in heaven but thee, God? And on earth I desire nothing else but God, the same God. So Jesus didn't, he changed locations, but he didn't change anything else, because he's Spirit. He's still born of the Spirit. Anyway, that is going to cleanse you, because his word is more important than anything else. His word, we're the people of the word, just like Jewish people are. Just like Jewish people are. They're the Am, you're the Goy. A-M is Am. That's for the Jewish people. But it's only for those that are believers. It's not for those that doubt, who are under the yoke of bondage, who are trying to keep a law and perfect themselves. That has to go. That has to go. The Jewish people are under a lie. It's just a misunderstanding, total misunderstanding, that I have to be good. In order to please God, I have to make a sacrifice. It can be with bulls or goats and, you know, turtle doves and pigeons. It doesn't matter what you use. The last group is for the poor people. But if you can afford a cow or, you know, something that you can sacrifice, or a goat or a lamb and so on and so forth. But you can't make a sacrifice that'll please God because you're imperfect. You ruin it. You contaminate the thing you're doing. So your work is just your work. And God hates that. That you're trying to establish your own righteousness when you don't have any, and you'll never have anything. Not for all eternity. You weren't even born perfectly. You were born perfect in God's sight, meaning you were born with a conscience and with reason, and you have a will and all that kind of stuff. But that's not enough to get you into heaven. So only the word conquers all those. If you don't have a word, you'll go by your conscience. If you don't have the word, you'll go by your mind. If you don't have a word, you'll go by your feelings. Everybody that I know goes that way. Everybody that I know goes that way, except for Christians who are hot like you are. How are you hot? Because you don't have any other life but Jesus.
Yeah.
And that word is able to conquer you. So never be psychological.
That's right.
Will, mind, emotions. Don't start with mind. That's Greek idea. Don't start with your brain. Your brain is stupid. Why? Because it will conclude things that are not in the Word. It'll conclude things that are not in the Word. And since it does, you'll do what's reasonable, but it won't be biblical, spiritual, everlasting. It won't give you eternal life. But if you believe in my words always conquers anything less. If you believe in my words, just Jesus, no one else. If you believe in my words, you'll have eternal life. So, there it is. That throne waiting woman right there, waiting for, and you have to be patient. Patient. See her patience? She's waiting for the wedding day. Now, she's already ready. She's got her no spot on her garment, on her vesture. No spot. No wrinkle. Otherwise, you won't be able to see. So it's wrinkle-free and spot-free. She has no spot. If you have one spot, do you have one spot on you today? One sin?
Yes.
Okay. That's a very good answer. Because it would be true without thought. You could just simply say, we all do. And why? Because you're not being saved by your works. So, does that prevent you from going to heaven? No. So, you can still go to heaven. How? By the Word. Because Jesus' life is perfect, and He lived it for you. Before the foundation of the world. Not just on Calvary.
Hallelujah.
That's just doing the deed that confirmed the previous doing. So, Jesus was actually crucified before the foundation of the world. Do Catholics teach this? No. Do they teach it? I mean, it's in the Bible. But they just teach what the church has traditionally taught. Tradition. Jewish people are the same. Hindu people are the same. Buddhists are the same. They're all under a law. We're not under a law. We're under grace. You're under grace. Say it. I'm under grace. Yeah, because you're under grace.
Yes.
And what does grace do? That's just something God gives you without even asking. He just gives you that. And then when He does, you can believe in it or not believe in it. I believe it. I believe that I'm perfect in God's sight because of following the word that Jesus spoke. Because he announced the kingdom. Kingdom's coming. Repent. Now, repent is this word up here. Metanoia. Metanoia. This is all freebie before I even read the word. Metanoia means meta, change. Change. Noia, your mind. So every day, as a Christian, your mind is being renewed. If you don't read the Bible, it's not. But if you meditate on it, that's okay. You can meditate on it. But don't just meditate on one verse. You better read the whole thing, because the whole thing tells the whole story. And the reason He wrote it is for you to read it. And it says in the book of Revelation, blessed are those who read in order to hear and then to keep what you've read and heard. So, you need to know these words. These words are life. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? I've taught you this all the years. I'm just repeating what I've always said. I haven't changed. I have never changed. I have never changed. You can read my sermons from the 70s. The same thing. They're the same. The same passion, the same excitement, and so on and so forth. But I haven't changed it. I'll never change it. Why? Because it's the good old story of Jesus and His love. Same thing Baptists believe, the same thing, you know, anyone who's a true believer believes. But sin, everybody sins. Everybody sins. Right? Everybody sins. Isn't that true? I mean, daily. You're proud that yesterday you were humble. That kind of ruins the pride. I'm proud that yesterday I was humble. God humbled me really good. That only was good for that day. But now that the fact that you immediately had pride in it, that vitiates it for the next day. So what I'm trying to say is, don't worry about your behavior. Don't worry. Why? Because it says, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. His Amen. Right hand are pleasures evermore. All he is promise God. Everything he's done is promising you. I've already taken care of everything. You have nothing to worry about. I've taken care of it. The whole world's in my hands. I can at any time interrupt. They won't even know I'm doing it. I can do it in such a hidden way, they don't even know, and they assume things that are not true. Like Caiaphas, he prophesied when Jesus was crucified. And he said the right words. Well, don't you know it's expedient for one man to die for the people? It's to your advantage. It's to your profit. Otherwise, we'd have to die. So, don't you know, just killing this Jesus guy, that's expedient. He prophesied. He said, that's a prophecy. He prophesied, and it was true. But he's using a man that hates God to get across his point. He can use a donkey. He can use anyone at any time, and you don't even know it's Jesus. Because he acts in such a way that he hides himself under the law as well as under the gospel. So all the law is actually a gospel. In other words, everything's good news. Everything is good. Okay, now let's read it. I'll show you how to get to 7 from 3. That's why I skipped 4, 5, and 6. I don't care about those. I just want to tell you something. When you understand this word aright, it's opposite to what you think. Metanoia, change your mind, but always in the direction of believe. I'm just saying it, simple. Repent and believe. Why? That's the only way you can believe is if you repented. You got to change your mind, always in the direction of good news. It's always in the direction of good news. Change your mind, not stop sinning and start doing good. That's not good news. How many know if you changed your mind, today I'm not going to lie anymore. You'll lie right then. You're lying. Because you will. You can't ever solve one sin. It's not your job. Jesus already did it. So, today I'm going to be a better wife. It's so silly. Today I'm going to be a good friend. That's silly stuff. You can't do anything apart from him. Are you following me?
Amen.
I'm not boasting. I am not boasting. It sounds like it. I think no ministers aren't teaching what I'm teaching. It's so simple. So true. And I'm not criticizing. I am not criticizing them. I pray for them. They need to hear the truth. I wish all of Dallas were here. I wish all of Fort Worth would be there in an hour or so when I preach there. I wish everybody would hear these words. Why? They're good news. Will they understand them? No, they will not. If you get this message today, it was a miracle.
Amen.
I mean, it's a miracle. If you get it, I say the same words all the time, and they're ignored all the time. Why? People translate them into their own thought. If I say it's all by grace, they'll immediately say, yeah, that's in the Bible. And they just blow it away as though that was just an empty word. It's not. If it's all by grace, that means it's a free gift. It's a free gift.
Amen.
It's for free.
Hey,
it's free. But people just think, well, I hope I earn grace. You just changed it. You don't earn grace. It's free.
Amen.
It's free. It's just God does it because he loves you. He's a God of love.
Amen.
Now, let's read about that in the Bible, because if I could teach nothing else but what Willis said before this whole thing while he was here, he said right away, we sang that song about the goodness of God or whatever it was. What was it?
God is good.
Is that the thing we sang?
Yeah.
The Lord is good.
The Lord is good? Okay. And he said, that's the whole message. And it wounded me today. It just went right into my heart. Wow, that's the whole truth.
Amen.
So he saw that. That's a miracle. That was a rhema. It just came alive to him. Wow, that's the whole thing. There isn't anything more than that. So, how do you get there to bridal throne, no sin? No sin. From then on, that person will never sin again. They'll be in heaven. The reason he comes back is to get his bride. Hey, is there anyone here who has no sin? He's looking for him. Where is the bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such blemish, stain, you know, whatever, that demar them? I want them to be pure. Do I have any hot ones like that? Me. You see, you have to be able to say, it's me.
Amen.
It's me. You can say that. It's me.
Yes.
I'm like that. Are you like that?
Amen.
How?
Absolutely.
Word. Are you like that? Yeah. You're pure. You're pure?
Yeah.
Right. Even though you sin, forget that. That sin has already been taken care of on the cross 2,000 years ago because the Word says so. Because the Word says so. You don't have to think it out. It just saves you time. Are you perfect?
No.
Not?
No.
You are. By the Word. By faith. By faith. Totally by Word. Are you perfect?
Amen.
Yeah. Are you perfect?
Nope.
Are you perfect? Yes. Are you perfect? So we all are perfect. Everyone's perfect. I'm just telling you, just hearing the Word, if the Word sinks in, you don't have to think about it, you don't have to want it, you don't have to understand it fully. Just, hey, that Word sounds like good news to me. I'm taking it.
Amen.
So I'm perfect in God's sight. Now, I'm going to read the scripture that solidifies this forever for you. Chapter 2. All right. Therefore, O man, it's everybody, you are without excuse. Everyone who judges, for in that in which you judge the other, you condemn yourself. So, men are always judging one another. You're pretty, you're smart, you did good. Those are judgments. They're worthless. But let's say you did something bad. You're bad. You did wrong. You're no good. Yep. With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. The same judgment you judged, someone else is worthless. You're wrong. They're not. So everyone you are in contact with, even if they're an enemy, even if they hate you, don't judge them. That's God's work. That's God's work. He does that. And he might be merciful to someone who's no good. I don't judge hearts. He's the only one that judges hearts. And he judges souls. He sees in the innermost part of your soul. He sees what you really like. And you don't know that, but he sees that. Nobody sees that. Nobody. So if only God judges hearts, and there's a hidden from you. There are secrets that God knows. He knows everything you thought, everything you felt, everything you wanted. He knows everything about you. Way before you were even created. Way before you were in the womb. Way before you were born, he already knows everything about everything. That's called the foreknowledge of God. That's foreknowledge. So the reason you were born is he said, he won't ruin my program. I'm going to go ahead and create him. So you're created because you won't ruin his program. You can sin all you want, but that won't ruin his program. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So everyone that's ever born, anyone, Adolf Hitler, I mean, think of the monsters that you know, they don't qualify. Because he said, no, I can create him and still get my job done. I can create anyone because I'm God. So that person doesn't stop God from winning. They cannot gainsay, means argue against and win, God's word, and they cannot thwart his program, his plan, his vision to have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Do you think we'll see it? Yes. Some of you will be alive when he comes back.
Amen.
I don't know me. I don't care about me. But you will, because I'm already 77 and, you know, I'm looking at death in the face and so on and so forth. Whoa. You know, even though I'm young looking, you know, the point is all of my organs and so on, they're falling apart and so on. So it won't be long before I have no teeth and, you know, whatever and so on and so forth. I'll have buck teeth or whatever.
You should see my dad.
Yeah, you said it to me, Pastor Jeff.
He's fully
He's 84.
And he looks good.
Looks great. Yeah. Spoken for 60 years.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think you've got some time.
Yeah. Amen.
It's good. And I received that word.
In Dallas, we're going to go for that for you.
Yeah. It's good. So anyway, the point is, whether I live or die, and I hope to see Jesus come back again, but the point is, I don't care, because I'm ready to go now. I've always been ready. The minute I met Jesus Christ, I remember exactly where I was standing, exactly. I mean, that second that I knew, I believe in Jesus. Wow, it changed my whole life.
Amen.
It changed me forever. My behavior did not change, but my faith changed me. I had four. I had the new heart. I was regenerated. And I knew I'll never, ever, ever, ever doubt God. I knew that. I knew. Wow. The living God met me. I was in Arizona. I was in Scottsdale neighborhood in Arizona. I was out in the desert, actually. I remember that vividly. I was here in Dallas, in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
After the Christmas service was over, you're still here. After that, I don't think you were in Oklahoma at that time.
No, not by a long shot.
Okay. So whenever that was 1971 or somewhere in there.
Yes, that's right.
And I had read a book that this lady wrote, and I said, these people are Christians, just reading it. They lived during Nazi Germany's time to persecute the Jews, and they now live in that land. But they also have a house in Darmstadt, Germany. And I said, Peg, I like this book. I'm reading it because these people are true Christians. They pray every day for food. They don't have any. It just comes to them. Every day for everything. They don't. Wow, that's just like the book of Acts. They live that way, and they're so sorry about what Germany did for the sisters. All of them were sisters, and I'm not a sister. But anyway, I wanted to go and check them out because of what they wrote. Because what I read what they wrote, and it convicted me. Wow, these people are. I'll never be like them, but they are Christians. So I'd heard them here in a Fort Worth church, St. Paul's downtown. And I immediately then began listening to them. Wow, these people are like really serious. I've never met anyone so serious about this thing because of Nazi Germany produced the sisters. And so I said, well, I want to go out and see them. Anyway, at the third day I was there, I was just criticizing them for the first 2 days. But the third day I was there, they had a time when you curfew, and during curfew time it's 10 o'clock. You're supposed to be on your prayer bench, and then you immediately knew it's time to go to bed. But I didn't. I've always been disobedient, and I decided, you know, since it's 10 o'clock. No one is out in the hall or anywhere, and they would go to hell if they saw me, so they have to be in bed too. So they can't check me out. So they don't want to go to hell. They'd have to confess that the next day. Anyway, and so I'm free. So I walked around, and no one saw me. I don't think they had cameras or anything. But immediately, God met me, and I knew that I knew that I knew there's a God. I never knew that in my whole life. I never feared God. I never worried about heaven or hell. I didn't care. I lived like hell, but I didn't care. And in that moment, then, I knew that I knew that I knew because God visited me supernaturally, and it changed my life forever. I think you were in confirmation at that time. Yeah, because that's when we began to read those books, all those books. Probably at least a half a dozen, maybe even more, that we read
after
I got back, because I was inspired. I didn't tell anybody. I never got up and preached about it or talked about it. My wife didn't even know. I didn't tell her. I knew I was a new creation. But what I did do immediately, I began to read the Bible. I had already read it for papers that I had to, you know, give in seminary and so on. So I had head knowledge, but I didn't have any heart knowledge of God. Anyway, from that moment on, I knew, wow, I'm a Christian forever. It's kind of like what's happening to you. Just something happened, and you just knew. I need to change right now. But I don't need to because God just spoke to me and said, you need to change. So like, I'm changing. And immediately, it was a supernatural experience. Wow, I'm in love with Jesus. So I went from hatred, or I just totally ignored God. I didn't even care about him. Because he had no relevance in my life. I just could preach. I was a pastor. I could preach sermons on things, and the people liked them. Because I didn't invent anything. I just said what they said. But the people liked the sermons, and it was good. And I got paid for it. For, you know, 20-minute sermon, I got paid as though I worked all week. And I thought, this is a cool job. Because you can play tennis during the week, you know, do whatever you want to do, play golf, you know, have a fun time. And then you go to heaven anyway, according to the Bible, which I don't believe in. But according to the Bible, you go to heaven anyway if you just believe in Jesus. I guess I'm open to that. I don't know. But it's never heart. There's no heart in it. But that day, I got a new heart. And I knew it. I'm forever no more me. Me is dead. Now, how you do that, I have no idea. I have no idea how you do that. But I'm going to keep probing at this, looking at this, meditating on this night and day until I get it. I got to get all the way. I knew it had to be all the way. When I did that, I was happy and scared. I was happy because, I don't know, just a joy came into me. I don't belong to anybody. I belong to Jesus. That's it. And that's all I saw was Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know everything about him. So I have to read his word. I get to know that way. But I'm reading it now with eyes of faith. First time I had faith. So it wasn't just, I believe all those concepts. I did believe all those concepts, but they didn't have any meaning. I was still mean and selfish and nasty. And I wanted everything to go my way. After that, I didn't. No, I wanted to serve God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, and I didn't look at anybody as my mentor or someone, you know, that could teach me anything. Not that they couldn't, but I didn't look to anybody. I just simply said, Jesus, you're going to have to teach me, because I have head knowledge, but I don't have any heart knowledge. I'm sure I'll be judging anyone who teaches me something. Like, that's wrong. That's not right. And so, does anyone have a critical spirit like I had? And so, because I'd been taught all these words, you know. I have big words in my, you know, vocabulary. I don't use them anymore, but I had them. Huge words. You get paid a lot of money for having huge words in your background. So, all that linguistic and grammatical and blah, blah, blah. I knew, well, this can make you a lot of money. But I decided, no, I'm going to stay a pastor. A pastor is the worst job you can have. You're not paid anything, and people admire you for not being paid anything and still being happy. So, but I was happy because of Jesus. Period. I didn't want anything else. I don't care if I die, because I know, kind of like that guy when Jesus was born, Simeon. He walked into the temple and said, now I've seen the salvation of God. It's like him. I've seen the salvation of God. I knew that I knew that I knew there was a God. Not only there was a God, but his son was Jesus Christ. And he is my Savior. And then that night I said, okay, you're my Savior now, so I have a new heart. But I don't want you to be Lord yet. I don't want you to be Lord yet. Because I don't think I'm ready to give in to everything that you say. I have to read the whole Bible in order to understand what it is you're really talking about. So I'm not going to make you Lord yet. I'll still Lord my own life, but you'll be at least my Savior. So de jure, according to law, I make you Lord. But de facto, I'm going to be Lord. Is that okay with you, God? I remember asking him, is that okay with you? Because I don't want to lie. I don't want to start out lying. I will be good from now on. I knew I'm not going to be good from now on. You got to help me every second of every day. Because I'm so much of a scoundrel, I'll just default back into my old system. Does that make sense? That's powerful. Anyway, every day I've grown every day. And I've never regretted it. I've never been frustrated. I've never wanted to get out. I've just staying exactly humble in my same way. I don't buy clothing. If it weren't for Christmas, I'd have no clothes. Because the same ones I wore in high school, I'm still wearing. I still weigh the same. I comb my hair the same, and so on and so forth. But inside, I'm growing.
Amen.
Because of that. So now, listen to this. He starts out by saying, if you judge others, you'll be judged yourself. For first, what does it... No, I'm reading the wrong thing. Two. Okay. For you who judge practice the same things, but we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth on those that practice such things. And, O man, the one judging those practicing such things and doing them, do not think that you will escape the judgment of God. So now, don't judge others, because you yourself will be judged. By the same judgment you judge them. Even though you never did it, he will see into your heart that you did it in a different way, but you did the same thing. You'll be judged by that. That man's a liar. So are you. Wow. That man is selfish. So are you. You know. So I knew that. But here's the verse. This is the key. Or do you despise the riches of God's kindness and the forbearance, don't do it, and the long suffering, not knowing, don't despise that, the riches of his kindness, his forbearance, his long suffering, don't despise that, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Now, what does the word metanoia, repent, mean?
Change your mind.
Stop sinning? Doesn't mean that. It's the absolutely opposite of that. It doesn't say stop sinning. How could you sin if Jesus Christ has already lived your life for you and you can't live it? You're not perfect, so you couldn't live your own life. Even though you're a new creation, you still can't live the new creation life where Jesus is your righteousness. Not just is righteous and he likes you. No, he is your righteousness. He lived your life for you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So you can't live your life. Because if you live your life, I'm not me any longer. I knew Jim has died. You're dead. You aren't Jim anymore. I feel like Jim. I act like Jim. I walk like Jim. I think I smell like Jim. I think I'm Jim. But no, you're not. I'm not. How can I not be me? I am me. Nope, you're not me. You're now my me. Oh, okay. Well, get going then, Jesus, because I don't look like me, so you'll have to change me every day. Because I still look like, think I can act like, and feel like, and do everything me used to do. But he said, no, I've already renewed you. What? That don't make any sense, but forget sense, because I don't understand that. So that's why I didn't want to make him be Lord right away, because I knew I wouldn't be able to do it. Because I have no love in me for anybody. I have no warmth for anybody. I'm not fooled by anybody. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust people. Right? Did you come to that? Because people aren't trustworthy. And especially you.
Especially me.
So since you're not trustworthy, you're teachable. But if you don't know it, then you'll go ahead and blab. You'll start speaking and talking and covering up your sins. Because anytime you talk, I know you're in sin. Unless you have the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Right? So you want to talk Bible talk. Why? Because if you talk your own words, they won't be any good. You have to talk the Bible words. So I've memorized and learned much of the scripture, because thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not
sin against
thee. So I'm not using my words. I'm using God's words. Same words he brought to me, they refer to him too. So I'm going to talk like Jesus talked. And I don't know how he talks, so I better read it. Every day, I have to read it every day and correct myself every day. It's a grammar that corrects me every day. Up, you used an adjective, and then you used that in a verbal form. Now you're using it in a noun form. You know, I had to be corrected every day as to my language. It wasn't wrong. And I knew that. I knew, for example, I'll just tell a joke when I ought not. One time during David's, that was the first marriage I ever did, was David's mom and dad. And
that sounds funny, but...
Yeah, right. Right. That does sound funny. Maybe I quit right there.
I was sitting right there.
Anyway, I don't know if this is the wedding I did this in, but I took an offering. I don't know, that one might not have been the one, but anyway, I didn't think about it, but I was so used to taking an offering every time I spoke. I just took an offering. I realized you don't take offerings at funerals. Oh, well, it was a good group. A nice group that came here. Anyway, I don't think they did that one, but I did skip your uncle. Your uncle was on the way to the wedding, and I skipped him. But just went ahead with my deal. Anyway, my mistakes are so manifold. They're so evident. And so I knew, God, if you ask me to be perfect, I can't. I'm no good at that. I'm only good at being imperfect. God is good.
Yep. Amen.
All right. The goodness of God, 7. Because you're going to marry Jesus. And he asked you first. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He said, will you marry me? You know, you got to say, yeah. Yeah. Do you realize those words are powerful? Yeah. Why? Because it's the goodness. I'm not responding to his, you know, I'm going to kill you if you sin. He's not responding to that because I'm not under a law. I'm under the gospel. I understood that intellectually, but now I'm understanding it from the heart. Wow. He means, if I do it, it's no good. If flesh does it, it's no good. Because I have an imperfect flesh. But if he does it, it's good. So that counts. Since I'm relying only on him, not on me helping out, not on me cooperating, not on me joining him. Jesus, you did a really good thing. I'm going to add to it. No, you can't add to what Jesus did. If it's perfect, it's perfect. So you can't... Well, maybe I'm subtracting. Well, yeah, you are, but don't worry about that. I've already died for that. No. So I neither add nor subtract. Goodness of God leads to repentance. Why? Why? Why does it lead to repentance? Change your mind. Change your mind in the direction of goodness.
Amen.
Because he's good, you're good. So don't stop being bad. Don't stop that. Just be good. How? Jesus Christ is your goodness. Wow.
Amen.
That's good. That makes me feel good. Wow, I'm good. So words that we use make people feel good or not. Words that we use. I know, David, you do this all the time. Wherever you are, you do wrong, but you always give a good report. Right? And that's true. And that can be bothersome to the people around you. It can be bothersome because he always gives a good report. And he always does.
And there's always a reason if someone's not in a good mood. They have a reason.
Right. He's always giving a good report. It's in the Bible. But he's always giving a good report. He doesn't give the other 10 guys that gave a bad report. He's like Joshua and Caleb or whatever. And they give a good report always, always. And so he always does. And that's true of me also. You can't make me give a bad report. Well, what do you think of the riot? Well, God knows what he's doing. Whatever. I'm not going to give a bad report on anything.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to give a good report for Israel. I'm going to give a good report for Christians. I'm going to give a good report. And if somebody doesn't know something, it's my responsibility to get God's view on the thing, wisdom. And don't get human wisdom. I don't trust that. I only trust God's wisdom. I don't trust reason. I don't trust will. I don't trust emotions. I don't trust anything. I trust God. So I never act intuitively. I don't act intuitively. Why? Because I have to check it with God. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. I have to check everything, not what would Jesus do in this situation. That's just your mind doing that. I'm not talking about wearing a bracelet.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about, having a wrist thing on your finger and so on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Bible. And you have to soak yourself in the Bible to know how Bible talks in every situation. So you see how the judge is judged and the good ones and the bad ones. You can see right away, oh, this is bad, this is good. So, if the goodness of God leads to repentance, that means repentance is always a happy word.
Amen.
It's a happy passion. Everyone makes it negative. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and you're going to hell. I mean, you used to have guys sign, judgment is close, right. Repent or else you're going to go to hell, and so on. We don't have that too much anymore. But the last time I was in Israel, they did have a guy saying that. I mean, he was right on the street there. Judgment is coming. You're all going to be going to hell. And so on and so forth. And so, that was the old guy. And that's still on street corners. You hear that. Judgment is coming to the earth. And you're a sinner. And repent right now. And so I don't preach like that. I don't say that. Because that's a bad report. I don't want to give a bad report. I want to give hope, and there's hope in Jesus.
Amen.
Dying for you, living for you. And where did he die, and where does he live? In your heart.
Amen.
Because he's spirit. So he's up in heaven with God, but he's also down on the earth in my heart. There he is. And he's making his way into my soul and into my body so that everything lines up before the day of the Lord. Because he says, I'll not only forgive sins, chair 4, but I also will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All means all. It means all. All unrighteousness. So that when he comes back, I'll be in chair 6, perfect, so that I'll be in chair 7, waiting for him. The bride hath made herself ready. She didn't make herself ready.
He did.
Jesus made her ready.
Amen.
Well, you say, well, the Bible says she did. Yeah, I know what the Bible says. I'm very well aware of it. But it's speaking differently, and you have to learn the way the Bible talks. That when it says Pharaoh, he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he didn't. That would not be good if God did that. Because then he didn't do wrong because God hardened him. So it must be God's fault. No, it's not God's fault. God already knew what he was going to do before he did it, and by foreknowledge, he said, he's hardening his heart. I agree with it, because I'm going to get glory over this guy. That doesn't bother me that he hardens his heart. So God didn't harden his heart. He already knew he would harden his heart, and he said to Moses every time, you're going to tell him this, he's not going to do it. He's prophesying for foreknowledge, right? So the goodness of God leads to repentance. What does it? God's good. God is good all the time. So because he's good all the time, and you're his beloved, and he's going to marry you someday, hey, why worry about stuff here? Why worry about, you know, having a bad marriage or having a bad job or having a bad anything? Why worry when God's guaranteed you all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? So the issue is not, you know, you doing something. The issue is, hasn't God already done that? Does he not guarantee that every minute of every second of your life is joy unspeakable and full of glory?
Amen.
Did he not say that? So if that's the goodness of God freely giving me this, I don't even have to earn it. I just did it. I just got that. Free gift. Wow. And then the goodness of God leads me to repentance. Yay! So I'll close with this. Holiness always follows. It's predicated upon happiness. Happiness always leads to holiness, not the other way around. You don't have to be holy to be happy. You have to, and holiness will make you happy, but it's not because of the holiness. It's because you were already happy because of the goodness of God that leads you to repent, and therefore you believe that everything good will come out of my life because God is with me. He's not just in me. He's not just working through me. He's with me in everything I do. So every step I take, it could be of God as long as I'm listening to him. I'm close to him. I'm hearing what he's going to say. So this is the best time of my life. Why? Because it's today. What about tomorrow? That's another day. This is just today. So let's be happy today, right? Kathy, you can be happy today. Forget yesterday. Forget that. Forgetting those things lie behind. Forget that. Bad and good. Just forget that. This is another day. And then there's another day. And then there's another day until Jesus comes back.
Hallelujah.
When? Could be 5 years. Could be 5 years. Anything that's more than 3.5 years, which is 1,260 days. Anything. So he could come back that quick. Are you ready? You need to be ready today. I don't think it is 5 years. I don't really care, but I don't know, and I don't really care. But I just know this. A, if he came today, I want to be ready. Does it hurt you to be ready?
No.
To have kind of like, I'm going to try this dress on before I wear it for my wedding. I think I'll try it on. Well, you can try it on and just start being happy right now.
Amen.
You don't have to postpone it. I think I'll, when I go to heaven, I'm going to be happy. No, you're not. You will not be happy in heaven because you're not going. Because you think it's a future. It's actually a present. You can live it now. Okay, when will men see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? When will men do that? When you do good works that you didn't do, that Jesus did through you, when you do that here, they'll glorify your Father in heaven, not you. I did the good work. No, you didn't. God did it.
That's right.
Amen.
God did that. So, you can't do, as it is in heaven, so it's on earth. You can't do that on earth if you're in heaven. So in heaven, you're not going to do that. You have to do it on earth so that men see your good works on earth. As it is in heaven. How will they know that? Because when they see you, they didn't see you, they saw Jesus. They didn't hear you, they heard Jesus. That's what I heard that night. I heard the voice of Jesus speaking to me. I heard the voice of God saying, I love you. And I knew that I knew that I knew. I'm loved of God. It changed my life forever. And that's why I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of living. I'm not afraid of anything. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So as in heaven, so on earth. So let's live that way today.
Amen.
Why couldn't we do it today? You could do it. You could stand up right now in your chair and say to another person here that you don't even know, I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength. Because Jesus loved me that way. Now I love you, my brother, my neighbor. Who's ready? Who's ready to do that? Alex, you already ready?
Yes.
Okay, stand up. Point somebody out.
Close your eyes first. Just point.
Oh, I know, right?
Don't pick anybody.
I love you with all my heart, my soul, and my strength. And that because of Jesus living in me, that'll never change.
Amen. Somebody else.
Amen.
Somebody else. Just do it.
I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength because of Jesus in me.
Somebody else. Let's have another one.
I love and adore all of you.
Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. You can include the whole world.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Me too. I include everybody.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
I just love it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Powerful. Who else? Let's have another.
I love everybody.
Hey. Powerful.
Amen.
It's powerful.
I want to increase mine to everybody.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. You see what? We're living in heaven on earth. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to, you know, feel it. You don't have to, you know, want it. Just do it because it's the heavenly way. Let's say it's a hypocrite. It doesn't matter. He'll judge that later. Don't worry about that. You're not going to go to hell because of that. You're going to sin every day. You're going to sin every day. You will sin every day until he comes back. When the trumpet sounds, that's when you'll get your new body, your new soul, and then spirit, soul, body, 4, 5, and 6, you'll be worshiping God forever and ever and never stop. World without